Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everybody. What do you want the Lord to say? I mean, I want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I thank God for being here on the broadcast today. And our host is on the line, Elder Ransom Dotson, and I'm going to turn it over to him.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everyone. I hope you got your pen and your paper out. I believe tonight is going to be a subject and a lesson to remember. If you would allow me, I'd like to open up with St. John 15, 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. If anyone out there knows you bear fruit and you receive fruit by hearing the word of God. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Won't you pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. Oh God, feed us. Feed us with your word that we might live, because your words are life to us. And we want to experience life everlasting. Father, we bless you right now. Open our ears that we may hear the understanding that is given on this night. In Jesus' name, let us all say, amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm getting it right back to Elder Bryson, God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too. And thank you so much for being a host of our show. It's such a blessing to have Elder Dotson and Sister Dotson and then those others that call in. We're so thankful for each and every one of them. But we're going to, first, I just want to do a little brief recap of what we've been talking about. We've been talking about seeking God and seeking the kingdom of God and all that goes with that, how to seek the Lord, you know, why do we seek the Lord and all of that. And so we've been talking about that in the Word of God and how to seek him and find him. And so, you know, when we initially started out this series, which is the relationship series, we're talking about building a relationship with God and what better way is to seek after him and to learn of him and to know who he is. And so our initial thoughts on it all was seeking God. God loves a seeking heart. And we talked about that and the six things that go along with that, recognizing that you are a sinner, and then understanding that your sin demands repayment, and that's what Christ did for us when he went to the cross. He repaid the debt for our sin, and then how to confess your sin and sin right now to God, and to confess means to agree with God about your sin and to choose to turn away from it and to repent of your sin, and then you are choosing to step away from your old life, and then in order to follow God in the new life that he's given you, and then to receive his gift of forgiveness and to understand that his forgiveness is a gift, and then to accept God's forgiveness as his gift to you and to thank him for your life. And then the sixth thing was to turn your life over to him and choose to follow him from that day on. And then because seeking God, of course, is a continuous process in the Christian life. It is not something we initially do and then we've arrived. It's continuous because, first of all, God is infinite. And so when you talk about seeking a God that's infinite, then you just continue to seek God your entire life because he's bigger than we could ever imagine. What he said, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, his ways are higher than our ways. And so we can never actually reach a full understanding of God, but that's why we seek him, because as we seek him, we begin to understand more and more. And so we said, what are the ways that we can see God? How do we do it? And we said, well, first you have to separate yourself as Jesus did when he was around the multitude, and then eventually he dismissed himself from the multitude and went up into the hills by himself to pray. And so he got alone with God. He separated himself from everybody else and began to seek God. And then it said, prepare your heart. And we talked a little bit about this on last week about preparing your heart. And we said to sow to yourselves in righteousness and to reap in mercy, but to break up the fallow ground that is around your heart, for it is time to seek the Lord. Because in order to receive seed, you got to break all that up that's around your heart that's keeping you from receiving the word of God. The word of God is seed, and so when the seed is sown out, thrown out, it has to get in a ground that can receive it. And so you have to do it. That's when he was talking about the parable of the sowers, how some fell on good ground, some fell on thorny ground, some fell on stony ground. And it was because the other two weren't ready to receive the seed. And so, but that good ground is that ground, because when a farmer begins to plant, he tills the ground, he gets the ground ready to receive the seed. And then it can receive the water that will water the seed to help the seed to grow. And so that's what that means about preparing your heart. And then the next thing was to set your mind on the Lord. It says, I will seek you with all my heart. I will meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. That's Psalms 119 and 10. And so he said, but we talked even about last week about seeking the Lord with your whole heart, with all your heart, all your mind, and with all your soul. We talked about that on last week. And then the week before that, we talked about how David, you know, in the midst of his trouble, in the midst of the trials that he was going through, instead of him talking to God about that, he just sought after God. He began to seek more and more about God, and he thirsted for him. He hungered for him, and his flesh longed for him. He said, for in a dry, and this is Psalm 63, he said, in a dry and thirsty land, he was seeking for God. He said, where there was no water, he was seeking God for everything. And so even though he was going through a very tough time, he still sought after the Lord. So he was going after God when things wasn't going right. And if we could just get that concept, because that's what God is telling, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about seeking the kingdom of God, and then we're also going to talk about, if we have time, promises to seekers, for those that do seek God. And we talked about some other things, and I won't recap all of those, because you'll have to go back and listen to the broadcast about those other things, because, let me see. We were just talking about the person who seeks God after, we have to seek him after inner perspective, and how we have to seek him as in an intimate way, almost like a marriage relationship. You know how marriage, a person, when they're pursuing after somebody, when a man is pursuing a woman, he wants to get to know her. He sees her, and he wants to know more about her, so he begins to build this relationship up with them, and so they communicate and they begin to spend time with one another. And that's how we have to do with God. When we're seeking after God, we have to spend time with Him, and we have to get to know Him through communication, through our prayer time, through our meditation time. And those are the things that we're looking for when we are when we're seeking after God. And then the person that seeks after God has an inner satisfaction. And we talked about that. My soul is satisfied with the marrow of the fatness. And we were still in Psalm 63 when we were talking about these particular things. It said a person who seeks after God has inner joy. And that was Psalm 63, 5, 7, and 11. It says, my mouth offers praise with joyful lips. And so it was just, it's just so much. And then we, a person that seeks after God has inner stability with strength, even in crisis. And so that's what we were talking about, how David had strength. And he sought after God even in the midst of crisis. He could have asked God to take care of his enemies. He could have asked God to take care of all that stuff. But he decided to seek after God because he trusted God enough to know that he would take care of the rest of it. And then that brings us in just that right there. That right there says, but those who seek my life to destroy, he said, I'll let God take care of those things. And so we want, that brings us to our point today in our scripture, Matthew 6 and 6 and 33. Let me get down here to it. 6 and 33, and it talks about, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And I'm gonna, let me read, let me read the other part of that, the verses that are prior to that, so we can get an understanding, because it talks about, when it talks about seeking the kingdom of God, and it talks about us being free from worry and those types of things, because really, if we seek God's kingdom, God is telling us, he said, I'll take care of the rest of that stuff. We sometimes are so busy seeking after the things of this world, you know, so much we started talking about so much prosperity preaching that we kind of forgot the other portions of things because we were so busy trying to get what we feel God has promised us and the things that we feel like we should have to sustain us in this world. And so, but God is asking us not to even worry about those types of things, but to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But let me go back to verse 28. Yeah, 28, where it says, this is Matthew 6 and 28. We're going to start there and go all the way to the end of the chapter. And it says, and... Let me get some more light on this because this is one of the little print Bibles. But anyway, it says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And it says, therefore, take no thought, saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so when we think about that in that light, if we would just do what God is telling us to do, he'll take care of the rest of it. I remember when we were coming up in the cathedral praise, Bishop Allen used to say, if you take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. And so that's what that scripture means to me, and I felt like that's what David was saying even in Psalm 63. God will take care of this other stuff. I'm going to seek after God and let God handle the other things in my life. Now, that doesn't mean that we're void of having to go to work and having to plan and having to budget and having to do all those types of things or go to the store or whatever. But what it says is we're not to worry about those kinds of things. that we are to really seek after God. And so I know you're saying, okay, so what do you mean when we're talking about seeking after God? What are we really, and I'm trying to get down here to my notes, what are we really seeking? And it says, Jesus said to seek ye first the kingdom of God. That was one of his sermons when he was up on the mount and he was doing that. He said, but how do we know if we truly, what does it mean? What should we neglect? The reason, but we shouldn't, wait a minute, let me get to my notes. I'm trying to skip around. But we are to seek the things of God as a priority over the things of the world. That's what it's saying. It says primarily it means we are to seek the salvation that is inherent in the kingdom of God, because it is the greater value than all that stuff of the world. And so if we're seeking after that, then that's what we're supposed to do. And then it was asking the question, but how do we know if we're truly seeking God's kingdom first? And so then we could ask ourselves some questions. Well, where do I primarily spend my energy? Is all my time and money spent on goods and activities that will be certain, that will perish, or in the service of the Lord? And then the results of which live on for eternity. Because what it says, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. He said, where moth and rust can eat it up. But if you set your affections on things above, nothing can eat that up. It's eternal. And so then we have learned to truly put God first and rest in his holy dynamics. And so this is what we have to do. And then it was. Let me see. I got something else I want to say about that. Anybody have any comments about that so far? I know I've been doing a lot of talking. But when we pray, the kingdom. We're putting God. When we say that, we're putting God first in our life. We're saying that, Lord, what is the kingdom of God that Jesus speaks of? First and foremost, God's kingdom is the rule and reign of Jesus Christ in our personal lives. So that's what we're seeking after, the lives of spiritually born-again believers. One day it is going to be an outwardly visible government, and it will be established over the entire earth. Jesus Christ will be fully in charge, and Satan will be have no choice in the matter. That means he'll be cast into hell. But it's we're seeking God for our own, in our own personal lives. We're seeking to allow Jesus Christ to rule and reign in our lives. When we say we're seeking first the kingdom of God. And there's some things it says, some things that we, when we're doing this, it says every Christian is called to do good works and to desire to please God. We should have a desire within us to please God. But when we really begin to seek the kingdom of God and to do the things and the works of God, then we will have that desire to please him, because we'll want to do it his way. Even on our jobs and in other places, we'll want to do what's right so that we can please God. We won't choose to do, you know, what our flesh is telling us, but we'll choose to do what our spirit man is telling us. That's why it says, is it Galatians 5? It said, for us to walk after the spirit and not walk after the spirit and not after the flesh, because we want to do the things, the spirit things are the things that are going to be pleasing to God, and the fleshly things are the things that are going to be against God. And so it says, when we are a primary purpose God allows any of us to be born here on earth is to please and glorify him while we are down here, doing so that both current and eternal ramifications, striving to enhance daily one's personal relationship with the living God through obedience and walking in righteousness. So these are some of the things that we'll do. And also our soul winning, what we do when we are spreading the news about what Christ is doing. That's one of our, as we are availing ourselves to God to help others come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So it's important that we testify, or we spread the news about Jesus Christ, what he did for us on the cross, so that other souls will want to come to Christ. And so that's important. All of these things are us advancing the kingdom of God, and those are things that we're doing when we seek the kingdom of God. These are the things that we begin to do because of that. It says that we become disciples of him, and all of these are things that are causing us to seek God. To seek the kingdom of God. Does anybody have anything they want to say about that?
Yes, I believe that the scriptures tell us, I believe it's in Matthew, where only the righteous shall see God. Everyone takes that to believe in the end time or at the last day. But to live a righteous life, you have got to see God. To live a righteous life, you have got to seek God, because that's the only way that you will do things righteously. To do righteous things, you will be doing them in a godly manner. How can you do it in a godly manner if you do not know how God would do it? So that's why we seek Him, and that's when we become righteous, and that's when we'll see God in everything we do and how we live. It becomes a way of life. We'll be living a godly life. Amen?
Yes, amen. Amen. And that's what we'll be doing. We'll be living a godly life, that life that will please God. And that is what He is wanting from us when He talks about seeking the kingdom of God. It's us turning from what we think is the right thing to do and turning from what God says. I think it's in in the book of Judges where it says that, you know, men are doing whatever right in their own eyes. And what we are really seeking to do is to do what is right in God's eyes, not in our eyes, but whatever's right in God's eyes. Those are the things that we should be seeking after when we're seeking the kingdom of God. And I know people sometimes get confused about that because, like, well, what? How do you seek a kingdom? But you're seeking for the kingdom of God. So then the Bible says that the kingdom of God is within you. So when we are when we have come to Christ and we're seeking to do His will and not our will, that means the kingdom of God is within us. And so that's what Jesus was speaking of when it says seek the kingdom of God. And then He said all that other stuff God will add to you. So if you really think about it from that perspective, you know, what a benefit God has. That, to me, that's one of the promises of seeking God, because He's saying that if you just do this, what I'm asking you to do, these are the benefits that come with that. And, of course, we're not doing it for the benefits. We're not doing it for the present. We're doing it for His presence, because we want the presence of God to be in our life. And so those are the things that we should be seeking after when we seek after God. And I think that's the thing we got to keep in perspective, not to seek his face but not His hand. So many times we're going to God asking Him for things and asking Him for things, and that's okay, because He said asking it shall be given, seeking ye shall find, but knocking the door shall be open to you. But the only thing we shouldn't be doing is asking. We ask all the time, and then we ask and don't even begin to give God praise. Because God, we owe Him a praise. He wants to be praised. He wants us to worship Him, and He wants us to seek after Him. And we shouldn't be seeking Him just so that we can get something back. And even though I am getting ready to talk about the promises to those that are seekers, but that's what God has promised. He's promised things to us if we diligently seek after Him. If we diligently, and when we say seeking, we're saying we're wanting more of Him. We want to know more about Him, and we want Him more in our lives. And that should be our focus as a believer, that this is what we should want to do every day so that we can get to know more and more about Jesus, and then we can spread the word to others that may not know who He is or how to get to God. This is our purpose. Does anyone have any comments they want to make about that? Okay. If not, we're going to go on to I don't know if sometimes I think I'm talking fast, so I'm getting through it here a little fast, and I thought I had a bunch today, but I think I talk a lot of it a little fast. But also it says, I think I've kind of exhausted that. When I thought about just the promises of those that seek after God, and it talked about one of the major scriptures that talks about that is Hebrews 11:6, where it says that He is a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him, and says that faith, without faith is impossible to please Him, but that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But there are so many scriptures in the Bible that refer to seeking God. And one, and we've covered most of these in the prior lessons, but in Deuteronomy 4:29 it says, from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will, and here's the promise, you will find him if you seek him. That's the promise that God is making, that if you seek him, you will find him, especially when you seek him with your whole heart and with all your soul. Those are some of the things that God has promised. And even in first, I'm just going to go down these scriptures, and we can talk about them if anybody has anything they want to say about them. 1 Chronicles 16:10-11 says, glory in the holy name. Let your hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. So he promises for our hearts to rejoice. So he said, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. So our hearts will rejoice because we're seeking after him. And that's some of the things. And then here's another one. This is 1 Chronicles 28:9. It says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. And so we got to be careful about that we don't forsake God, and that we don't want to be cast off forever. We really want to stay in the heart of God, and so we're thankful for that. Does anybody have any comments they want to make about that thus far? Okay, so then it says in 2 Chronicles 7:13-14, and this is one familiar scriptures. But anyway, it says, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or I command the locusts to devour the land and send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And so he's promising things to us if we do these certain things. And why wouldn't we want to, as a Christian, want to be a follower of what God is saying for us to do, so that we can really reap the benefits of what God has promised us? I would rather have the promises of God on my life than have the wealth of the world, actually, because that can fade. Wealth can fade. We understand that from so many millionaires that have, yeah, even our president, they've gained this and then they've lost it, and then they've gained it back and they've lost it, and they've gained it back and they've lost it. And so we know that wealth can come and go. It can fade away. But what we get, the wealth we get from God, is everlasting. Does anybody have
anything? Amen.
Yeah, about that
the promises of God are yea and amen. And that means they are sure, and you can bank on them. I'd rather have God fulfill his promises in my life than seek after worldly pleasures, because the things of God will make everything better, because the blessings of the Lord make of rich and add of no sorrow. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then one of the other things I saw in 2 Chronicles, where in 26:5, Chronicles got plenty of promises concerning seeking the Lord. It says, as long, it was talking about Zechariah, but it says, and I'm just reading the part of the promise, it said, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. And as long as he sought the Lord, he said, God made his way, he made him prosper. And then in 2 Chronicles 31:21, he's talking about, he said, to seek his God. He said, but he did it with all his heart, so he prospered. So when you do something for God with all your heart, he will even prosper your way. And then the Bible tells us this, is that when a man's ways please God, he said, even his enemies will be at peace with him. And so it's so many things. If we just would please God, them troubled folks on that job would do better. And we would really, and we turned that all over to him, like David just said, I'm not going to worry about the Lord to take care of them. But it says when a man's ways please the Lord, it says even his enemies would be at peace with him. So he's saying that, he's saying here, if you seek him with your whole heart, with all your heart, he said, and he will prosper you. He will cause you, your ways to be prosperous, cause things to prosper in it. And then in Ezra 22 and 23, it said, the hand of our Lord is upon all those for good who seek him. So there are so many promises about just seeking God. And I mean, it's a bunch of scriptures about it. And so I'll just keep going so, because we got time. It says in Psalms 9 and through 10, it says, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in the time of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So he's not forsaken those. If you really are seeking God and you're trying to get to him and to know more about him, he will. He's not going to forsake you. He's going to be found of you, and he's going to allow you to understand him more and just to gain more and more knowledge. The Bible says get wisdom and get understanding. And wisdom is the principal thing. But with all thy getting, this is in Proverbs, get an understanding. So you want to get to know God more and more. And the more you know about God, the better your life will be. The more peaceful your life will be. The more sustainable your life will be when you get to know God, because then you won't be so stressed out about so much stuff. And like it says in Hebrews, it says, There remains a place of rest for the people of God. You can rest in the Lord even in the midst of trouble. The peace that God gives us is peace that is not absent, that conflict is not absent. That means there's conflict going on, but we still have peace because we have the peace of God. And the peace of God, and it causes us to even be strengthened when there's so much turmoil going on. And that's the place you want to get to. And it takes you getting to those types of places, because you are steadily seeking after the Lord. You're steadily wanting to know more and more and more about him. Does anybody have any comments about that?
Yes, you're speaking about peace. I believe the Bible says the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds. And we're talking about a peace that, you know, in man's eye, he don't too much understand it. But it's something that is that has to do with God, that has to do with deity, that puts you in another place, that puts you in another realm. People do most things to escape, you know, what they're in or what they're going through. But here the Lord is saying that peace is a great escape. My God, have you ever looked at it like that?
Yes.
That the peace of God is a great escape. Men use everything to escape, you know, what they're feeling or what they're thinking or situations they are in. You know, they choose liquor, they choose all the wrong things. But seeking God and seeking his peace, God can put you in a place where he can protect you and where you can escape all those things you really don't want to be caught up in. Amen?
Amen. And that was something that was really a blessing, because what you're saying is all this other stuff that we try to comfort ourselves with, we could have the peace of God, and it would comfort us in the midst of a tornado if we got the peace of God. That's kind of what that says to me. All of that can be, a whirlwind could be going on around me. Things is all out of control. But if I have the peace of God, which in Philippians it said will come, the peace of God, he gives you the peace of God that compasses all understanding. So you can't even understand how I'm in. You can't even understand how you having peace in the midst of what's going on. But because of God, you've got it. So we might really get through a little early today, because it's I'm winding up. This is we're going to move on to another topic from today. And so we've been on this for at least, I think, 4 weeks, almost five. This is our fifth week, I do believe, talking about seeking God. But I hope it has really blessed someone to know more about what their responsibility is when it talks about seeking the Lord and not just thinking that you're not searching for Him like you're searching for a coin that you lost, or you're searching for an earring or a contact that might have fell out of your eye. You're not looking for Him like that, but you're looking for Him because you're trying to build a stronger relationship with Him. You're coming to know more and more about Him, and you really want to be in the presence of God. When it really says seek My face, you're really seeking the presence of God. And in the presence of God is when so many things can take place. Healing can take place, and deliverance can take place, and there's so many things. So you want to be able to get to that place in your life that you have sought after Him so, and you have found Him in every situation and everything you're going through. You sought the Lord on it, and you find Him in each situation. And so those are some of the things that we have been discussing over the time. And that's why I kind of recapped a little bit of what was going on.
Amen. Elder, something to think about. I know this might seem elementary, but I know you have gone over it. But one may think, well, how do I really, really in this day and time seek the Lord? And one thing that I think about when we think on that matter is you use all your gates to seek God. You use your eye gate, your ear gate, anything that will, any porthole that is used to gain information or to get information or to receive information is a porthole that you will use, a portal that you would use to seek God. And in doing that, you use something that we taught way back when called discernment. Every man is given a sense of discernment. And this keeps you out of trouble. You know, you got to be observant of things around you, people that come around you, people that get in your space, and people that you allow in your space. You don't realize that part of seeking God is the people that He sent to you that have been sent by Him to give you something. Not just material, but spiritual insight. Amen?
Amen. Because we have to understand that seeking God, what we're doing is we're putting the love of God at the center of our relationship with Him. And we're saying that, you know, I'm seeking Him to learn more of Him, and so you're learning about Him. And when you said about the different gates, when you said about the eye gate, that to me was the meditation of reading the Word of God and learning about God. And then I thought about one of the other gates is your mouth. Your mouth gate is where you can praise God, and when you begin to praise Him and you begin to worship Him, you're allowing His presence to come. You're asking Him for His presence to come. And so that's a way you're seeking after God. And then when you think about, you said the ear gate is you allowing Him to commune with you. You're listening for what He is saying to you. And that's what I, when you said that, those are some of the things that began to come to me when you were talking about that. We have to allow those portals, like you said, is as the means of seeking after God. We're listening to Him. We're praising Him. We're praying. Our mouth is used for prayer to communicate with Him. And then our eyes are used to seek after Him by meditating and reading on His Word and learning of Him. And then we have faith as a portal. And it's not a faith is something that we gain as because we're hearing. So the Bible says, and I'm going back, this is the portal of here, the ear gate, because it says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when you go to church and you hear the word preached, or you go to Bible class and you hear the word taught, or even from broadcasts like these, there's so many people that are doing so many things as far as getting the word of God out. When you hear the word of God, those are portals and those are gates that you're allowing God to come into your life so that he can begin. And what did he tell? He said, so I can, he said he wants to come in and sup with us. He wants to be come in and be in our lives. So do you have, anybody have any comments about that?
Amen. He really wants to become a part of us, but we have to let him in. Let in his word. Let in. That's why I love to hear the word of God. I love to hear people teach and preach, because I've gained so much information by hearing someone else say something. It's almost like a trigger. The Spirit of God is in you, and when you hear a certain word, it triggers another. God is, like you've said before, Elder, God is strategic. And when he wants to get information to you, it doesn't matter what avenue he takes to get it to you. But you have to be willing to listen to that source, to listen, to be in that avenue, and receive what God is giving you. That's why you don't stay away from prayer meetings. You don't stay away from Bible study, because in all of that you're receiving things from the Lord. It's not that you walk around so sanctimonious that no one in the world can touch you, but it's just that you're listening, you're attentive, and you're sensitive to the things of God. That's all a part of seeking God. Amen?
Yes, it is. Well, I'm actually finished, actually, and I know we got quite a bit of time left. We got probably about 18 minutes left. But I wanted to... Elder, if you have anything else you want to bring to it, I've kind of went over everything. I've kind of recapped, you know, some of the things that we had talked about in previous lessons. You know, to seek after God means to always to desire more of him. And, you know, that was one of the things that David was talking about. He was desiring more of God. And to seek after God means to pursue God alone, to fill the vacuum in your life, to, you know, to just seek after him and to fill those empty places. Those empty places that sometimes we fill with other things, but we need to fill with God. And then to seek him for that inner satisfaction and that inner joy and that inner stability. Because if we need that, because in the time of crisis, we need that stability that God offers us. And just to have an inner perspective and balance in him. And then to seek God by putting love for God in at the center of your relationship with him. I remember a songwriter said that Jesus is the center of my joy. And we used to sing that song. It was such a beautiful song. And I just remember that kind of came to me when I talked about putting him at the center. And then to seek God by spending consistent time alone with him. And just, you know, making sure that's a part of our daily act, or, you know, whatever, you know, you can do. But that for me, I try to make it a daily situation, because I think if I seek God early, that, you know, it kind of helps me with the rest of the day and getting things better and staying in alignment with who God wants me to be. And then just by integrating God into every area of your life. I always pray, Lord, be Lord over every area of my life. Let him be Lord over everything. And so those are just some of the things I do. And then, of course, in our seeking after him, we want to seek him with all our heart and with all of our soul. I mean, we have to do it with our open heart. And so, you know, that just means that we're just opening up our heart to him. Like I said, we've broke up that fallow ground, and we've allowed that fallow ground around our heart to be broken up so that we can receive it. I think it's in Ezekiel where it says, you know, allow him to turn every stony heart to flesh. So that you, and then turn, so you can turn and live, and you can be able to live if you get that stone out from in front of your heart. Because sometimes when things happen in our life, some stony places begin to build up around our heart, and those are the kind of things that can keep us from really allowing God into our heart, you know, just the trials and the tribulations of life. And sometimes the enemy starts those kind of things, those hard, bringing those hard places in our heart at an early age. He, you know, the things that he sets up to try to sabotage our life early in life, whether it be, you know, just rejection or molestation or our father wasn't around or our mother left us, whatever it could be, we didn't feel like we were loved when we were coming up, or we felt like we were ostracized, you know what I'm saying, or because of something that, you know, was done or stuff like that. And so those stony places begin to build up around our hearts. And so what God is saying, break up that fallow ground, you know, allow God to begin to come in and break up that fallow ground around our hearts, those stony places, and give us that heart of flesh so that we can receive what God has to offer. We can't receive what God has for us with a stone rolled away. That's what I always think about when he talked about Lazarus. Lazarus couldn't come out of the grave if the stone would have stayed in front of the grave. So he said he had to roll the stone away. Have we allowed God to roll the stones away that have blocked us from receiving from God so that then we can seek after him and things like that? Does anybody have any comments they want to make about that?
That was a good point. You have to roll the stone away and allow an entryway for God's Spirit, for God's Word. This is the only way you get faith. This is the only way you can believe. And God wants to strengthen your belief in him, because a strengthening of belief brings assurance.
Yes.
And it also brings confidence. Assurance and confidence. What does the enemy do? He tries to break down your confidence.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to break away your assurance. Because the Bible says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Kill, steal, and destroy your confidence, your assurance in God. Break down everything that you are sure about with God, that he might gain access. Don't give him access. Don't give him access. Give God access, and he will open your eyes to the kingdom of God, also to the things around you, and your surroundings will be different.
Yes.
And he'll maximize what you thought was, you know, just the way things are. He'll maximize your attention to things so that you'll get a vivid understanding. Amen?
Yes. And that's what he'll do. He will do that. If we just get it and really begin to let God fill those places that are causing us so much turmoil. And sometimes that's easier said than done, and I really understand that. I know it's easier said than done sometimes to allow forgiveness to even come in because of some of the things that have been done, but we have got to allow God to bring those things in our life and let that be what we are aiming for, is for God to take over and not to allow the enemy in. We got to remember that the enemy is really hopeless. I know he seemed like he got a little power, but he doesn't have any. He's really hopeless because he already knows where he's headed. So he's just doing as much as he can to try to bring as many people with him, just like when he left heaven. He took a third
Amen.
Of the angels. He took a third of the angels with him when he left heaven.
Yes, he did.
And so he's trying to take as many with him to hell now. And that's why he's steadily speaking in our ear and doing all this stuff and allowing all these things are happening. But God is in control. And if you weren't going to pass the test, God wouldn't even gave you the test. You know, sometimes it takes us longer to pass them. But I believe God, just like he did with Job, he asked him, he said, have you considered my servant Job? That's what he asked Satan. He said, and, you know, he went on to say, well, no, you got a hedge around, you got this, you got this, you got this. But even in the midst of the trial, Job did not curse God. And the thing, even though he began to, you know, say some things, and then God had to put him in check. He said, well, where was you when I created, you know, when I created the world? Where was you when I created? He had to put us in check. Sometimes God put us in check to remind us that, you know, you're not in control. I'm the one in control. I created all of this. And I think if we get that in perspective, that we'll have a much more peaceful life, because then we're relying on God and we can really get in that place of rest that he has promised in Hebrews when he talks about that now there remains a place of rest for the people of God. We have to get to that place so that we can begin to really allow God to be in control and not keep trying to be in control ourselves. I mean, we still have to do the daily things that we have to do in life, and we have to continue to function because even though we're not of the world, we are in the world. And so we have to function, but we still got to understand that he's, what he said, that we're in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So we got to remember these things and begin to really allow God to take over. Does anybody have anything they want to say about that?
Yes, we can say a lot about that. I know that our listeners may be listening and saying what you had said earlier, that it's easier said than done. You guys are already there. You're teaching the Word of God. But you know what? If we turn it into a sales pitch, you know what? You need to try it. Try God.
Yeah.
Try his love. Try the church. Try it. We believe wholeheartedly, and with all that is in us, if you try it, you will like it. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yes.
And we're here to let you know there's nothing better.
There's nothing better. And if you think, you know, I know people sometimes think, well, you're teaching the Word of God, but that don't mean we're trying to get to that place that we have peace in the midst of conflict. Believe us, we are.
Amen. Because we have not arrived. We got to wake up same as you every day, and face the world, face people that, you know, really get on our last nerves, but there's a way that God will give you peace. Amen?
Yes. So it's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing steps that we're making toward God and a relationship that we're building with God, with God. And so it's ongoing. So like I said, God is infinite. And so it's not like you're gonna mature to a place and you can say, oh, I've arrived, I've got it. No, it's ongoing. That's why salvation is progressive. The more we keep going, seeking after God, the better we'll get at some things, and then we'll just keep growing and maturing and maturing and maturing. As long as you're living, you're growing. You got to grow. No tree comes
Amen.
To place to grow. Because if we think about in the seasons of life, the tree, you know, if we think about the seasons of life, in the fall, things die. The leaves are dying and falling off the trees. And then in the winter, you know, the ground is covered with snow and things like that. But that blanket of snow is what's watering what's to come up in the spring. And then when spring comes, the buds begin to come out again. So growth begins to come again. And then in the summer, it blossoms. So we're always going through stages of life when we think about it. So we're always in those stages of life through our life. We're never reaching a place where, hey, I've got it, I don't have to do nothing else. No, you don't do that. You're always growing. And so, L. Dawson, I'm going to turn it back over to you for the remainder of the broadcast.
Amen. If there's anyone on the line that wants to seek the Lord, that wants to get to know the Lord a little bit better, that really does not know the Lord, we want you to pray this prayer with us. Lord, I am tired of this life I am living, and I want to change. I confess and believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and he rose from the dead, and by the shedding of his blood, he washed away my sins. Now, Jesus, come into my heart and fill me with the Holy Spirit. I give my life to you. We believe that if you have prayed this prayer that you are saved, please get yourself to a Bible-believing church and a Bible-teaching church that you can learn and grow in the Word of God. Like Elder said, Elder Bryson said, the Lord wants you to grow, and to grow into what? The perfect man. Not that you are perfect per se, but you have grown. All perfection means is growth. He wants you to grow. Amen?
Amen.
So if there's anyone else on the line, do we have anyone else on the line that would like to end our prayer as Elder Poston or anyone with us?
I think Elder Timberlake is on the line.
Oh, wonderful. God bless you, Elder Timberlake. Would you pray us out? And if you have any thing you'd like to say, amen? Well, Elder Timberlake is not there, so we will pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that these words that went over the airway, that they would touch hearts, prick hearts, and change minds. Father, we pray for Elder Bryson that you would totally strengthen and keep her, and that you would release a word, O God, in her spirit that she may give, that it will touch and prick hearts and bring people to knowing you in a better way. O Father, we love you. We praise you and we magnify you. Each day that we live, help us to seek your face. Each day that we live, help us to understand that it's one more day that you have given us to tell someone about you. Oh God, we love you and we praise you and we keep you dear to our hearts. In Jesus' holy name. Well, Father, we pray also for those elders that have taught on this line and those elders that strengthen and are with us, that you would totally bless this broadcast, Prospering Souls, and bless those that help and bless those that support this broadcast. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank God. Amen. Hope you'll be back next week for some more of this beautiful, beautiful teaching. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. We'll see you back here next week on the Prospering Soul broadcast. We'll be starting a new topic on next week. So we thank God for the topic on seeking the Lord, and we'll be moving on from there. God bless you all. Have a blessed
God
week.
God keep you is our prayer. Amen.